With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. I'm glad to see in the chat that you all enjoyed listening to Dr. Joseph Sansone, and I would suggest that you subscribe to his Substack and get a little bit more information, or to his website, or anything you can do to help that man. He is doing what's called God's work, people. Whether you're religious or not, I think you'll both accept that. Now, I'm going to read a short extract following on from that, from the article I wrote entitled Porton Down's Ideological Cloud, to begin this next hour. And it is vital for people in the Western world to understand that their government has been experimenting on them with biological and chemical weapons for over 100 years at the very least. The only difference is how they dress it up, this, and how they pose this brazen human experimentation. Now, Cold War era Britain was awash with propaganda, not much different than today. The world had just witnessed the emergence of some of the biggest breakthroughs in technology and science during recorded history, only achieved at such a quick pace because of the ever-present fear of impending doom. And Britain, along with their American partners, were in no mood to discuss the ethics concerning some of these new and devastating technologies, just like now. World War II had given the Western defense agencies an ability to research murderous chemical and biological technology. Now, they would continue creating these weapons under the rationale of having them ready just in case they were ever required to be used. But we all know what happens when you give the bloodthirsty and power-hungry warmongers of the world a little droplet of your lifeblood. They'll soon want it all. After the Nuremberg trials, human experimentation appeared to be out of the question for any national state entity in the future, at a great relief to a worried public. But the people in charge of the United Kingdom's number one chemical warfare and biodefense research facility, Porton Down, would be encouraged to see their research as exempt from any international regulations, treaties, or pacts protecting human life. The completely reckless Porton Down scientists would be allowed to continue causing countless deaths, countless because Porton Down, the Ministry of Defence, and consecutive UK governments all chose not to bother counting the dead and injured people they experiment on. The UK government, in an article audaciously entitled The Truth About Porton Down, erroneously states, "The UK's chemical and biological weapons program was closed down in 1950s. Since then, Porton Down has been active in developing effective countermeasures to the constantly evolving threat posed by chemical and biological weapons to help develop effective medical countermeasures and to test systems. We produce very small quantities of chemical and biological agents which are stored securely and disposed of safely when they are no longer required." But the claims that UK offensive chemical and biological weapons programs run from the laboratories at Porton Down were closed down in the 1950s is provable fake news, directly from the heart of the establishment elite, who think they succeeded in hoodwinking an entire generation and any future generation. Of course, it should be the job of the free press to hold the government to account when such claims are made, but the mainstream media has again been found as missing in action. In fact, there wasn't only offensive chemical and biological weapons development and research happening at Porton Down throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but they were often targeting tens of millions. That's right, tens of millions of unknowing British residents. These crimes akin to some of the war crimes committed by the Axis power during World War II are still having repercussions on people's health to this very day. And no one, an official or an no organization, has been held accountable or even admitted an issue. Now, with a virus which appears to have been partly developed in a Chinese lab with official American funding being used as an excuse to close society, it's been more important than ever that we take a trip back in time to examine why the biodefense industry appears to remain untouchable and unaccountable. Now, going on, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at the Music Festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe? It's coming soon. It's only 2 weeks away now. Time keeps moving. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, Bouncy Castles, and Hope Sussex for the Children. I don't know if Hope Sussex is on the Bouncy Castle, but I think she'll probably be game. Plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who is aware of the truth in the world. A stand in the park and the light paper present Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on the May 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under five come free. No better bargain anywhere is what they say, and you should visit their website right in this moment in time to make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. We've got you covered on TNT.
Going 360 on the headlines.
It's really well-balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, Ilya Sutskever, the co-founder and chief scientist of OpenAI's for-profit arm, who played a role briefly in ousting CEO Sam Altman last year, says he is leaving the artificial intelligence firm. Here with the story, join me once again, TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Ruckus, tell us more about, these people.
Oh, you don't want to say his name again for me? Because I like how you pronounced it.
Ilya Sutskever.
All right, so I can't do that. So I will probably just refer to him as Ilya because I can do that part. But he is the co-founder and the chief scientist, well, no more chief scientist, of ChatGPT maker OpenAI, because he is leaving the company months after helping lead a failed coup against its CEO, one Mr. Sam Altman. I can do that name. Only to later voice regret over the flopped insurrection. OpenAI said that Ilya Sutskever, 38, is departing one day after the artificial intelligence juggernaut unveiled its new AI model called GPT-4o, capable of realistic voice conversation and able to interact across texts and images. It's really fascinating and frightening stuff. Mel Kay was on the Jason Burmes show just last evening here on TNT with a full breakdown of all of that. For those of you who are interested, I encourage you to check that replay out. Altman wrote of Ilya in a blog post, quote, OpenAI would not be what it is without him, end quote. The 38-year-old tech prodigy, a former University of Toronto grad student who stood out for his research into AI neural networks, was among a group, including Altman and Elon Musk, who founded OpenAI back in 2015. That seems like so long ago. Another top researcher at OpenAI, Jan Leike, has also left the firm. Stepping up, Jacob Pachocki will be the company's new chief scientist, according to an announcement from OpenAI. Ilya said in a post on X, quote, after almost a decade, I have made the decision to leave OpenAI, end quote. Ilya said he is working on a new project, quote, that is very personally meaningful to me, about which I will share details in due time, end quote. Ilya played a key role in Altman's dramatic firing and rehiring in November last year. He joined forces with other board members, plural, including Adam D'Angelo, Helen Toner, and Tasha McCauley, to remove Altman, who was also on the board but did not have enough support to overturn the decision. Days later, he reversed course, Ilya that is, joining more than 500 employees who signed onto a letter demanding Altman's return and expressing regret for his, quote, participation in the board's actions, end quote. Greg Brockman, OpenAI's co-founder and president, was opposed to Altman's firing and resigned in protest. Days later, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, who has directed his firm to invest billions in joint partnerships with OpenAI, said that Altman and Brockman were welcome to join the company to head a new advanced AI research team. Altman and Brockman eventually returned to the company, which then revamped its board. After Altman's return, Ilya was removed from the board and his position at the company became unclear. He has long been a prominent researcher in the AI field, Ilya that is. Before founding OpenAI, he worked as a researcher at Google Brain and was a postdoctoral researcher at Stanford. That's according to his own personal website. He started his career working with Geoffrey Hinton, one of the so-called quote-unquote godfathers of AI, who he himself quit Google last year, warning that the fast-developing technology poses risks to humanity. And finally, Johnny, shortly after launching in late 2022, ChatGPT was called the fastest application ever to reach 100 million monthly active users. However, worldwide traffic to their website has been on a roller coaster ride in the past year and is only now returning to its peak of May 2023. That's according to analytics firm SimilarWeb. So this stuff has not been available to the public for very long, and you look at how far it's come, it's getting scary. It's beyond scary, Johnny. But what say you about this major new shakeup at OpenAI?
Yeah, I think the analogy I would use is that these aren't rats leaving a sinking ship. These are people who are basically leaving a sinking nuclear submarine, which is going to have the potential to bomb everybody and there'll be nobody on board. That's the whole point. All of these rats will quickly leave because they don't want to be responsible for what comes next. And what comes next is super, super, super serious, really serious stuff happening. I think one of the big things that people don't understand about AI is the mimicry, that it is learning from us to be like us, to trick us. And, you know, humans, they think they're special. They think they're not going to be so affected by such technologies, but they're definitely, the effect is coming for sure. What's going to happen very soon is that they're not going to be able to work out, I've said this on a fair few occasions, they're not going to be able to work out whether the actual person they're speaking to is a bot or a human. And we're seeing that come quicker and quicker. Now, exponential growth, truly exponential growth, when you're dealing with technologies that are so advanced, means that they will soon become indistinguishable from magic, which is one of the most dangerous things to happen. The idea that we are no longer able to tell what's real or not is the essence of fifth generation warfare. And these are definitely the tools that will be used to enslave us. These are not the tools that are going to be used to advance humanity. No, we're seeing how AI is being used. AI is being used in drones in Israel to be able to, and Ukraine, to be able to strike, to recognize and strike whatever target the people want them to strike. What happens when they don't want us spreading the false information, the misinformation, and they want to make us a target too? Because that's the next step. And when you tell AI, you program AI, what eventually happens is it takes over. It becomes its own beast. And, you know, there's so much in there for not being able to tell what's real or what's not. So these guys, Ilya Sutskever, Sam Altman, Elon Musk, these are the people who are creating the technology that will definitely, no doubt at all, enslave us and change the way humanity is. And eventually, if we're not careful, which we're not, so this can be a given, will kill us, will destroy us, the majority of us. And we will not be able to replicate and get on big ships and have the ability to do all of the things we did before. Technology will no longer be like that. Once this technology gets into the hands of someone who can program it to say, all humans are the enemy. So say, what if the Club of Rome created its own AI and the enemy of humanity is man itself, is programmed into that? Then we don't get options. We don't get to defend ourselves anymore. It's not like the Terminators that we imagined in James Cameron's movies that tread about the place and threaten humanity in a way that we can understand and we can stop. These are buzzing, flying, no longer buzzing. They'll be quiet, silent, deaf machines. The way to take warfare away. And these guys, of course, they're trying to get away from the responsibility of what they've done. And this will continue over and over again. And my friends, in the very near future, even the bots themselves won't know whether they're talking to bots or humans. You'll have chat rooms full of bots who are all talking to each other. It's bad news there, Ruckus. I don't know what else to say about it than that. I think that this is just a shake-up of the worst order. You've brought some really, really good news today. Glad to see it. All makes me think there's an end to humanity. So thank you for bringing us the news, my friend.
No worries. It's not all bad news, Shawnee. AI will be able to properly pronounce Ilya Sutskever better than I can. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yes, they will. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Los Angeles has been described as a suburb looking for a city. Join me as we explore LA's neighborhoods and the local restaurants, cafes, and bars that are an integral part of these vibrant and diverse communities.
Today, we are going to cook a small steak for people who are really quite hungry.
Very, very simple. A couple squeezes of lemon in there.
Since you're adding the meat, and you can also do it with tofu options as well for the vegetarians.
Olive oil. So now we're gonna season it up. Fresh grind black pepper.
Really hot and busy in here.
I'm gonna go ahead and make some buttered toast.
Olive oil.
Ah, smells, really smells good.
Grab our shiitake mushrooms.
Season with salt a little bit.
Boy, it's getting hot in the kitchen. Need another drink of my beer. Ah, that's the best part of cooking.
And we are ready to put our plate together.
Add the mussels right around the rim. See, we have really nice colors, nice piece of fish.
We just need to add a little bit of powder sugar.
And I will just put a little bit of reduction glaze over the top.
When you add a pesto like this onto a braised meat, the smells that just come up are just wonderful. Take it from me, we've got a good thing going here.
The Lights is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. So far, this has been a very intriguing show. I'm very happy to have all of the people in the chat Remember, if you want to ask a question of the guest, please just put it down. Put a cue beforehand. That helps me notice it. My next guest on the Johnny Vedmore Show is the host of the Pete Quinones Show, formerly titled Free Man Beyond the Wall, which started in July of 2017 and has concentrated on topics pertaining to liberation from the progressive influence that has taken over Western governments. His current focus is on historical revisionism and how local politics and activism can help mitigate progressive influence while starting to build what comes next. You can follow him on X at Peter R. Quinones. Now, Quinones is spelled Quinones. Thanks, Peter, for coming on the show. I hope today finds you well. How are you?
I'm doing well, Johnny. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, I'm very happy for you to be here. You're a very special fella, for sure. I feel like I could potentially ask you any question at all and get an interesting answer. So to start off, let's go with a difficult but trending topic, of course. Who do you think was responsible for the events on October the 7th?
Well, I think it's one of those situations where when you're looking at the most guarded fence on the planet, a security system that is sold to other countries, that they actually sell to other countries, you have to believe that one could believe. Let's just say one could believe that they allowed this to happen, especially when you take into consideration then that Benjamin Netanyahu was about to be put on trial. He is very unpopular in a very multicultural country. Tel Aviv is known as the gayest city in the world. Old school right wing Zionists like Benjamin Netanyahu are falling out of fashion, even within the walls of an ethno state such as Israel. And it's funny that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, in the last 7 months, 8 months, he's right back in the game. No one's, very few people are calling to get rid of him. Because why would you never call to get rid of a leader in the middle of a war now, do you?
No. And I dig what you're saying there completely. I think that it was the most suspicious thing I've seen was how easy they got through when Israel has all of that high tech. I mean, it is high tech border security they've got going on. And just at this opportune time, that's what happens. It is completely and utterly outrageous, I think, to believe that there wasn't some form of point where they said, this is going to be good for causing perpetual limited warfare or creating perpetual limited warfare in the style of Kissinger and others. It appears, though, as though many of in the MSM are busy creating the perfect world for a totalitarian Zionist regime to flourish. Do you think we're collectively suffering from 75 years of intense brainwashing, or are people involved acting off baser self-interest?
Obviously, it's going to be both. The Zionist power, Zionist money, most people know that AIPAC's not the biggest lobby in the United States. That would actually be the AARP, but they are definitely the most powerful. They are definitely the richest lobby. They have unlimited funds. And I think what we've seen with the passage of bills through the House, like HB 6090, the anti-Semitism bill, which would fall into Title VI, I think it's becoming very clear to more and more people that our government is controlled by the Zionists, that it is this old term that back in the 80s and 90s, when I was growing up, if you would have used it, only people like Tom Metzger used it. The white supremacists use it. Zionist occupied government, ZOG. Well, I think it's become very clear. It's becoming more clear. I have people contact me all the time. They're like, my boomer parents are noticing what's happening here. My boomer parents who formerly were Israel could do nothing wrong. They're like, wait a minute. How come cities were allowed to be burned down in 2020 by the same people or people like the same people who are protesting on campuses now. And certain police forces would actually bow the knee to them. Yet when it comes to protesting Israel and Zionism on campus, these same priests who bowed the knee to them 4 years ago are now beating them up and removing them from campus. It's become very clear that we're controlled, that this government, I don't really even consider this to be I consider this to be a hostile foreign government at this time. I consider myself to just be living under a regime like Vaclav Havel talked about, where you're basically occupied, and all you're doing now is just trying to survive and, you know, see what comes next and plan for what comes next. I think that these people are paid off. I think a lot of them are true believers. And, you know, when you look at someone like Mike Johnson, you really have to wonder whether he honestly believes all of this, or if there are Jeffrey Epstein got some pictures back to Mossad that Mike Johnson has to worry about.
Yeah. Well, one of the things there, I mean, I've done a lot of research on Jeffrey Epstein, and my research puts him really in the place of a CIA interlocutor who worked with people like Mossad to bring them into intelligence operations domestically and allowed for this sort of thing. And he was doing such a wide range of operations. And there's so many reasons. I mean, money is such a good reason, but all of the other blackmail, the extortion, etc., of governments, of course, has a massive effect on controls. But what I'm saying there is that Mossad and CIA, you know, a lot of these intelligence agencies have become one big gray intelligence blob, and it's hard to tell the difference between them. And I think that goes towards, again, saying, well, you've got a hostile government in America, you've got a hostile government in the UK as well, and a foreign controlled government, really, I feel, in most countries in the West now, because it's kind of like allows them to defer their responsibility. A quick question before we go across to the news break, come from my chat. Lord Melbury asks, ask Peter why he thinks BB Milikowski changed his surname to Netanyahu.
Well, I don't know. Both of them come off as Jewish to me, so I don't know. If you are going to change your name to sound more Anglo, like a lot of Jews have done over the centuries, you don't change it to Netanyahu. I can't answer that. I don't know. I guess the more interesting question would be, why did Javier Milei down in Argentina shorten his name from Milikowski to Milei?
yes. Okay, that is a very good question. I think the potential answer Lord Melbury might have been looking for was because the Ashkenazi background rather than from Israel itself. But we got loads of more questions, and anybody in the chat who wants to ask questions, please do so. We're going to go for a short news break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
Real news.
Don't get it confused. TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Hunter Biden's federal gun trial is set to proceed next month without delay after U.S. District Judge Mary Ellen Noreika denied a defense motion to postpone it until September. A preliminary report by the National Transportation Safety Board on May 14th supported claims that the 95,000-ton cargo ship, the Dolly, experienced repeated power losses before it crashed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge on March 26th.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm definitely here with Pete Quinones and not with Pete Miliowski today. And we're talking about the situation, especially, I mean, like I say, you've got such a wide range of knowledge, and it's really useful, especially at these times where everything's so erratic and hard to make sense of. What's your opinion of what's happening in campuses across America? Are the students right to protest, and are they really being co-opted by organizations run by folks like George Soros?
Well, I think campus protest in the United States is really just a rite of passage. We've always, we've had it since the 60s, and it's usually just ignored. It's, unless it gets very violent, it's usually just ignored. Of course, Kent State happened, and maybe they should have got out of the way of the bullets. But when I look at what's happening on campuses now, I think that part of it's organic and part of it is astroturfed. I believe that some of the kids out there are really out there fighting against Zionism. I think that one of the things they see Zionists as colonizers, because they see they look at Jews, and especially Ashkenazi Jews, as white. And, Ashkenazi Jews, depending on the week, they're either white or they're Jewish. It just depends which one you talk to and what they say that given day, however they have to present themselves that day. But I think there are some paid protesters out there. I think that in the situation with the frat boys on North Carolina's campus and UCLA's campus, I believe those are paid. I believe they're paid by billionaire Bill Ackman. That definitely seems to be true. That it looks like Bill has. What's funny is they took up that GoFundMe for the ones at the North Carolina campus, and let's throw them a kegger, and it went over $500,000. And if you look at the organizers on it, there are two people who worked in the Bush White House, the George W. Bush White House. That's interesting. But then you look at Ole Miss, Mississippi, and you look at the frat boys who came out there who didn't commit violence. All they did was mock. And each one of them is having their lives taken apart. They're being kicked out of their fraternities. Their fraternities are not going to bat for them. And they could be possibly kicked out of school. They could possibly have their lives destroyed. Well, that tells me that the ones at Ole Miss were not being paid and were not being backed up by Zionist power, because Bill Ackman is a billionaire Jew. And he's, when you look at everything, Chris Rufo is doing a really good job of trying to take credit for everything that's happened with Claudine Gay at Harvard getting kicked out, the UPenn president getting kicked out, and everything that's happening on campus with DEI. This is Bill Ackman. This is billionaire money doing this. And it is Zionist billionaire money doing this. So what I see happening is I see that left-wing Jews who created the Frankfurt School and invaded the academy and created things like DEI, created things like critical race theory, and gave us all of these, the Civil Rights Act, all of these things that it looks like some right-wing Jews like Bill Ackman have decided, well, their time is over. And now what I see possibly could happen on campus is that you could have a reversal. And now you'll see like Zionism being taught and being promoted even in the curriculum. And
Definitely. I mean, when I saw that standoff between, I found it very interesting that I think they were trying to change the narrative at Ole Miss as well. I do think that there may be some sort of, and not necessarily co-opting, not necessarily direct payment of these students, but some sort of riling up of the protesters to say, hey, this is anti-American. And so you want to side with this sort of, against these Gaza protests because it's anti-American. And that's what is being posed. And I wonder if that's because Trump is eventually going to have to side with Israel as well. And he wants to get his own crowd to sort of like ease towards being like, oh, America first means you support the opposite of what these protesters are doing. Now, what do you make of the anti-Semitism bill, and what are the likely repercussions of such an act?
The anti-Semitism bill, which falls under Title VI, which would only cover colleges for now. We know that these things take on a life of their own and they have a tendency to go beyond Title VI and Title IX. These are, a lot of times they'll use the campuses as testing grounds. California is a famous petri dish for new laws that come out and to test and see if we're going to expand them to the rest of the country. I think basically what it's going to do is it's going to set up lists. So people who are going to school who don't toe the Zionist line, they end up on a list. And even if they manage to make it through college and get their diploma, when they get out, employers have access to this list. Is this person employable through or just like you see the anti-BDS legislation, like in Texas famously, where you can't work for the state or you can't get a state contract unless you condemn anti-BDS laws. And yeah, I think that's where it's going. I think it's going to not only to change some of the teachings that are being taught on campuses, but also to set it up so that people in the future, once they get off those campuses, basically have a mark or quote unquote on a list, and that makes them unemployable. That could make them, some banks may say, no, we can't give you, we're not going to give you a loan for the house, which might be better off because then you're just avoiding the usury system that a group introduced to us.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of I think there's one thing to say to that both fascists and communists enjoyed their lists, and that's something we're seeing with this. Is very, very true. They're looking to punish people and make a symbol of them. Now, with the conflict in Gaza and Ukraine in full swing, are we actually watching the front lines of World War III being drawn before our very eyes?
I think if you were looking for World War III, you'd probably be better off looking to Ukraine. I think that what's happening in Gaza is really just a regional expansion. They want that land. They've wanted that land for a while. They could have taken it at any time. I think that Israel, because Jewish identity is so built up in being victims, having people who they paint as victimizers right in their country on their doorstep is very valuable for them. So it's like, oh, look at them. They just launched a rocket. And, don't pay no attention to the IDF soldier who just shot a five-year-old, in the testicles. That has nothing to do with this. They just shot a rocket, which is just basically an oversized bottle rocket at this point. I think if you're looking for World War III, you look at Ukraine. This group, Zionists in particular, have wanted to destroy Russia for a long time. This goes back centuries. This is a centuries old blood feud for the way they were treated on the Pale of Settlement, and coming off the Pale of Settlement and immediately doing everything they could to turn right back around, using people like Trotsky goes to New York, comes back with a bunch of soldiers who are all American Jews. I mean, this is just a war. This is from the start, ever since the Soviet Union fell. We have to destroy the Soviet Union. We have to destroy these people, much like they wanted to destroy Germany after World War II. And they almost did. They almost got their way with the Morgenthau Plan, books like Germany Must Perish, plans to sterilize the whole country within 3 months. This is the same kind of thing they want to do with Russia now. So if I was looking for World War III, I'd be looking towards Ukraine, Russia.
Well, Hans J. Morgenthau was a very interesting character within history, that's for sure, and used on both sides. He was a Council on Foreign Relations member as well, and wrote a lot of very interesting sort of warnings at the same time as doing what he did. And I would, just before the break, we're going to go to a break very soon, but I would just probably push back a little bit and say that I think personally, I think that Palestine, Israel. That conflict suits the agenda because part of that front line of World War III will be made up by Turkey, Syria, and Iran. And this allows there to be, I suppose, an antithesis of the thesis. And there's the ability to be sort of a simple dialectic for us to understand. We're going to go to quick news break. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
People might tell you that Lyme doesn't kill people, but we are losing people. People disappear from their lives.
One of the scariest things that I had to deal with was memory loss. Not just like I don't remember what I did last week, but like I forgot all the words to my own songs. I remember going to my primary care physician and he was like, "You are 100% healthy. There's nothing wrong with you." And my response was, "That's impossible, I'm dying."
I wasn't working, so I had all of these hospital bills. We had to move out of our home and move into my parents' basement.
I just wish I could have truly been present in those big moments, you know, when she took her first steps or, you know, her first day of preschool. Lyme is such a thief and it goes undetected because no one is looking for it.
For more information and prevention tips, go to projectlyme.org.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days, they haven't drank anything, they're cold, they're dehydrated.
But remember, there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay. And around the world for any animal, any disaster. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
Cutting through the clutter. This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
So, Pete, tell me, you've looked at his writings in detail and changing tack a little bit. I have watched his movements very carefully, but what type of man do you think Peter Thiel is and what type of effect is he likely to have on our future?
What kind of person do I think he is? I think he's, it's hard to say. I've watched so many of his interviews and sometimes he'll invoke Christianity like this is the way forward. Sometimes he'll praise transhumanists. I think Peter Thiel is one of those people who is he's one of those great men of history. Now, when I say great men of history, the great men of history are not always on your side. You know, sometimes they're on the other side. Stalin was probably the most powerful man that ever lived. I'm no fan of Stalin. But he was probably the most powerful man that ever lived. He is a great man of history. Peter Thiel, I think, is someone who is looking for technology to save us. And I think, but I do think he understands, he knows, he's read Ted Kaczynski, he's read Jacques Ellul. He understands that comes with it comes with danger that technology may have led us to where we are right now. But I think that he's one of those people who may just, you know, have that kind of hubris where he's like, no, I think I can do technology right. And I think I'm going to be able to save us from this technological future. I think he's a great thinker. I love his book. 0 to 1 is great. It really shattered all my paradigms of what I thought about economics and what I thought about business and what I thought about competition, what I thought about entrepreneurship and what I thought about monopoly. But I think that Peter Thiel is one of those people where it's like, sometimes he seems like I agree with him 100%. And sometimes I want to get as far away from him as possible.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like he's on the spectrum and sometimes I feel like he's a robot. And both of those people who are on the spectrum, people who are robots, can obviously function logically at a different level at times than most of us. So he's definitely he seems to be missing something emotionally. Now, going on from that, the next world order is clearly being designed by the technocrats and others of the PayPal mafia. Are they designing a Brave New World, or are they designing a digital panopticon?
When it comes to the PayPal Mafia, from everything that I can see that certain of them want, now, this is a vast group. Some of them are right wingers. Some of them are far left wingers. Some of them are out and out socialists. You know, Peter Thiel created Palantir. I can never remember his name, but his partner on the deal is an open socialist. And so when I look at the PayPal Mafia, what I see is I see people who want to love technology so much that they want to tear down the system right now so they can get the system out of the way so that they can achieve what they want. But what their end goal is, here's what I've been saying about the people in the PayPal Mafia that I would look at and I would be like, okay, they can be on my side. They're potentially on my side only because the regime in charge right now is, you know, actively hates me and despises me, what I stand for, my values. I think that certain people in the PayPal Mafia, and especially the ones that are the most active politically, are indifferent to me. And at this point, indifference, I'll take indifference over hatred any time.
Yeah, it's hard to tell which ones are on our side for sure. And I do agree with you. I think what they're trying to do is they see this smart city future that they want to build. And they're like, well, this doesn't really, you know, where we are now and between there's a big gap. There's something that has to happen. And we want to make those things happen. So I think there's a danger. There is a massive danger as well. Cause some of them have talked about, you know, there's been talk amongst that circle about how city states in the future will be, or smart cities of the future will be so big mega cities that have their own governance that will basically act as their own nation states within nation states. And that will undermine nation states. So I don't think getting from here to there is going to be an easy ride. And Klaus Schwab and Elon Musk, they're two characters who try and distance themselves from each other and try and pretend to be separate. But are they in fact working towards the same agenda?
I don't know. I would say in certain aspects, I would say that they both have, for better or for worse, egalitarian tendencies. Egalitarianism is really, as Murray Rothbard said, it's a revolt against human nature. Egalitarianism is, you know, if you want to look at the people who are destroying the world, look at the people who are trying to save the world. The people who are destroying the world are the ones who are actively trying to save the world. I don't know that Elon Musk is trying to save the world. I don't know that Elon Musk wants to put a chip in everyone's head. Believe me, if you're one of those people out there who's scared that Elon Musk is going to kidnap you and force a chip into your head, there's going to be enough people who are going to line up to get it voluntarily. He's not going to have to worry about getting it in everyone's head. Whereas Klaus Schwab is just, you know, I think it's very interesting that organizations like the World Economic Forum, like the Trilateral Commission, that all of these, that a lot of these organizations came into existence right around the time that the gold standard was removed by Nixon. They knew that something was happening. They knew that with the rise of fiat, with a pure fiat money, that they could monopolize and that they could manipulate a world that would look like the world that they want. And I think that's where the World Economic Forum comes in and people like Klaus Schwab.
Well, that's really what my second in the Schwab series and my Schwab series tackled, Dr. Klaus Schwab, or How the CFR Taught Me to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, the creation over 1967 and 1968 by Herman Kahn and others at the Hudson Institute, who were working, of course, at the same time for the State Department in writing up the year 2000, which predicted all of the technologies for the future. And at the same time, Klaus Schwab was going for a CIA-funded Kissinger's International Seminar and was being given mentors who we would go back and create the World Economic Forum with. And that design was to tick off those technological advancements of the future so that they could stay ahead of China by at the same time using China as a test bed for a lot of these technologies. And as we saw in the beginning of the 70s, of course, so many changes happened and so many agendas began at that period, and they were nearly all headed up by people like Kissinger. It's a very interesting time period for sure. If people want to get a head start on the coming world order or the prevailing world order and see through the clear logical fallacies which are all around us, what do you think they should be studying?
How to grow food, how to till soil, how to raise, how to have cows, how to have goats, how to buy land cheap, all of these things. I think, in my opinion, unless a great man is ready to step up and go full Caesar on the system, the system isn't going anywhere, and you're going to have to take care of yourself. You're going to have to find people of like mind. You're going to have to find people who share your values. And, you know, I'm not saying that you have a Branch Davidian type of house that you all live in, but you can live in areas close to each other and be able to rely upon one another. I think that people who own businesses, who are, you know, sympathetic to our views, should look to hire people like us, people who, if we need jobs, that we are unhireable, unemployable in other places. I really think it's just a time to come together now, and it's a time to look for the people of like mind who understand who these people are, to come together and teach each other the skills that you're going to need to get by. I also think that you study history, look and see what's happened in the past to see how people got through times like this. I'm reading Storm of Steel by Ernst Jünger right now, and it's his, you know, it's his basically diary of being in World War One. People have had it worse than us. You know, people have had it worse than us. But when you look at when you see that one group holds so much power and so much sway over so many governments, over the press, over banking, over Hollywood, entertainment, pornography, everything like that, and you see that it may not even be, it's not even like this grand conspiracy. It just is what it is. Is that's who their elites are. Well, then you probably just need to build a world that is immune to them. And that's really the only thing I can see going forward, unless somebody, you know, unless somebody like a Pinochet or a Franco is going to rise up and basically topple this system and put people to heel.
Wow, a Pinochet or a Franco, that would be a that may be mean they're in bed to start with the wrong people, but they take their own route.
Caesar
for
always
sure.
Great men always come from within the system. Caesar came from within the system. Pinochet came from within the system. Franco came from within the system. Hitler served in the Austrian army in World War One. They always come from within the system. It's very rare that they come from without the system. When you see them come from without the system, it's what you get in Bolshevik Russia in 1917. And that was the worst out of all of them.
Indeed. I would just say, though, people like Orlando Letelier came from inside part of that system, too. But the systems are diametrically opposed and crashing into each other. Pete, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was amazing. You gave a great rundown. Thank you for coming on the Johnny Vedmore Show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate you.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, thanks to my guest today, Pete Canones and Joseph Sanson, who have both powerhouses in their fields. It has been another grand thank you to the heart and soul of the Johnny Vedmore Show, those in the chat. Thanks for everybody watching and listening. Your support keeps the lights on. Up next on TNT is the one and only Mark Morano Show, so stay tuned. Remember, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, don't go changing, and thanks for being with me. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow on today's News Talk.